Here we are, together again on a Sunday morning for Holy Eucharist, Rite 2. Since we celebrated Christmas together, we've had some special services on the Sundays following: lessons and carols with communion on December 29th. And last week, of course, Bishop Gulick led our worship in the afternoon at 2 p.m. for our annual Episcopal visitation and confirmation service. Special services, holiday time, those first days of the new year are wonderful and can be so renewing. But now they make way for a more normal rhythm of life and worship. And to me, that feels grounding. It feels supportive, even comforting. To be grounded and comforted is not to be complacent or static, but prepared for new growth and new encounters and understandings of the divine. The divine in our midst, the divine in our lives, the Holy One dwelling with us and in us. New growth and new encounters of God sometimes involve moments of epiphany. I think there may even be a spirituality of epiphany. Where do we find information about the world, our life in the world, and ourselves that prepares us for the possibilities that each new day offers? In this season following Christmas and before Lent, we are invited by God to enter into a spirit of epiphany, a spirit of being open to new information, new revelations, new realizations. To have an epiphany, as we know from the dictionary, is a moment in which you suddenly see or understand something in a new or very clear way. When we say, "Right, I've got it," that all makes sense now. So what does it mean to have this spirituality of epiphany? Last Sunday we celebrated the Epiphany, which is the account of the wise men from the East finding and recognizing the divinity of the baby Jesus. Throughout these weeks before Lent, which, by the way, Lent is so late beginning this year on March 5th, that's Ash Wednesday, so we're going to get to hear all the readings of the Epiphany moments from the Bible for this season. The account of the baptism of Jesus is what we heard today. That epiphany moment, Jesus rises out of the water and we hear the voice of God say, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Epiphanies in the New Testament have to do with recognizing Christ, Jesus, as the Messiah, God with us, as well as recognizing, as we heard in the reading from Acts, as Peter does, that knowing Christ, this knowing and following of Christ, helps us understand the world in which we live and have epiphany moments about, for example, as Peter did, that God shows no partiality. This was huge, a huge realization that all are God's children, that God loves everyone, that everyone can follow Jesus with no prerequisites. How amazing. That was amazing to Peter. As we reflect theologically about these moments when Christ is recognized, we can also learn much about who we are as God's children and members of Christ's body. And we do so by, in some ways, being open, opening ourselves to this spirituality of what is possible, what is new. Open ourselves to this spirituality of epiphany. In the baptism of Jesus, we learn, we see the Trinity there. We see Jesus' future as well. This is, in a way, the gospel in a one shot, one look at it. Entering the water, being symbolic of death, rising up from the water, being resurrection, and the anointing of the Spirit in the form of the dove is the coming of Spirit at Pentecost. Jesus did not need baptism for the forgiveness of sins, but gives himself to John's baptism so as to enter this human experience, bringing to it the grace of the divine. There is an interplay of human and divine woven together for our salvation. Stephen Driver, one of the scholars who comments upon this, he puts it this way: by entering this water, Jesus did not seek his own repentance, for which he had nothing to repent. Instead, Jesus offered himself as the answer to John's call for all people to repent. The baptism of Jesus is an epiphany account because Jesus is seen to be and known to be the Christ, God's Son, the Beloved. This was the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, and it's a moment for him as well of transformation, growth, preparation, a rite of passage. Just as our baptisms are for us, were and have been and will be for those who will be baptized, our baptisms were the beginning of our Christian ministry as God's beloved. Can we hear God call us the beloved? Can you hear God say that to you? You are the beloved with whom God is well pleased. Henry Nouwen wrote a book on this topic. I may have mentioned it here in a sermon previously. I know I've used it with people on retreat, entitled Life of the Beloved, Spiritual Living in a Secular World. Nouwen states that for various reasons, it's difficult for most people to think of themselves as the beloved because of all the times that the world or the people around them did not affirm that reality. In Life of the Beloved, Nouwen states that through our baptisms, we become like Christ, who as the beloved was chosen, blessed, broken, and given. And God gave to Nouwen this way of thinking about the Christian life, about Christ's life, from the action of the Eucharist. The bread is given, blessed, broken, chosen first, and then given as gift to the world. Interestingly, it's the broken part that really gripped Nouwen the most. As you read the book, you feel the energy around that. He was in dialogue with a friend of his who happened to be Jewish and was trying to figure out his life, basically, as we all are. And it's that broken piece. We see from the life of Christ that being beloved does not mean we will not suffer, that all will always be well. There is suffering and pain for Jesus just as there is for us. And now it investigates, how is this brokenness part of our life with God, God's life with us? This book was published a while ago, back in 1992. It's been around a long time. You may have read it back then, as did I, with a church book club. It's worth looking at again because it can be so fresh as we return to it, considering our lives and what's going on in them now, who we've been for God, who God's calling us to be now as one who is chosen, blessed, broken, and given, because this happens again and again, how our lives have purpose and can be understood in relation to the life of Christ. As we begin a new year, perhaps a way to welcome God's love and care and action in your life is to spend some time reflecting and praying about how God has chosen you to live and be in this world, how God has blessed you with skills and gifts you can share with others, how the brokenness in your life can become a source of strength through God's grace and healing, and how God calls you to share who you are with others for your joy and their joy, and how all of this is ultimately tied up with salvation. We too, you, were anointed by the Holy Spirit through baptism to be God's person in this world, called to be and do, strengthened and guided by the Spirit. Every person needs to hear these words of God's, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." We need to hear it in order to embrace God's call to us, whatever that call is at this time in our life. So many people do not step out in faith with hope, not because they don't believe in God, but because they don't believe in themselves. They've never heard that, how loved they are by God. Because they haven't heard that voice of God claiming and naming them as the beloved. This is a great gospel scene for us to be with and pray with. Imagine yourself there, maybe with Jesus, maybe on your own. Hear God say that to you. You are my beloved. How do we know who we are? What stories do we listen to? Ignatian, the founder of the Jesuits, taught that sometimes God's grace comes to us without previous cause, meaning that there's no rational reason why we ought to know something other than that God gives us this direct knowledge of grace because God so chooses. Epiphany moments can be like that. But most of what we know, even about God, comes to us through the more usual process of gathering information, analysis, and decision to accept the information as true or important or as a guide for our life or not. And we get used to that. And we get used to hearing what we think are facts about ourselves. But when we open ourselves to the spirit of epiphany, we open ourselves to new insights, new grace, about God and about ourselves. What will we experience and learn in this new year of 2014? What will we learn about God and who we're called to be as God's beloved? How will our consideration of the epiphanies we learn about from the Bible relate to the illuminations that we're receiving in our lives? We gather here each week to be strengthened and sustained by what we as the church offer each other, which in part is our shared story of faith that began long ago and continues in our lives now, your life, my life, and together as a community of hope and love. We will also, as a church, be offering a program entitled Illuminations, starting at the end of this month, to explore spirituality and spiritual practices in the spirit of Epiphany. Practices that may be different from what you expect from a church, including a drum circle, dancers of peace, yoga, and a night on the labyrinth. To open ourselves and to invite others to experience the divine, those who may not think church is for them, to experience the divine and the holy in new ways. Epiphany spirituality is an open-hearted approach to our life with God. When Jesus had been baptized just before he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." You are also God's Beloved, created by God in God's image, given as a gift to the world, anointed in baptism, and empowered by the Spirit to live your life for your own joy and God's glory. And the Spirit's not done with you or me or with us. There's a blessing we'll use at the end of this service that states today, "May God, who sent the Holy Spirit to rest upon the only begotten at his baptism in the Jordan River, pour out that Spirit on you who have come to the waters of new birth." And God's love is so deep, so broad, so high, so all-encompassing that the Spirit is always being poured out, continues to be. What will the Spirit show us? Where will the Spirit take us? Whatever it is, wherever we go, may we be blessed by the knowledge that we are the beloved of God and be open to the spirit of Epiphany. Amen.